Welcome to the Open House Podcast. Conversations exploring life, faith, and hope with Stephen O'Doherty.
Well, there's nothing worse than walking past a bin that hasn't been cleaned out for days with the garbage spilling over and people just adding to it, affecting your built environment, affecting the quality of life that you have as a citizen walking down the street. But imagine a bin that could actually, well, email the council and say, come and collect me, please. That's kind of the sort of thing they're working at the University of New South Wales, where they're looking at installing smart technology into things like rubbish bins in the street. One of those involved in that project is Dr. Christian Teats, and he joins us now. Hello.
Yeah. Hello, Stephen.
Welcome to Open House.
Yeah, it's a pleasure. Thanks for having me.
Will the bin phone home? That's the question.
Well, it nearly could. Certainly, what you've mentioned in your introduction, bins with sensors that can, send a signal to the rubbish contractor, that's what we're going to install, and that's what our partner company, Street Furniture Australia, is developing. And, so rather than, for example, having, fixed scheduled timetables when the rubbish gets collected, it can be tailored, so if there is more rubbish in the bin, it can be picked up earlier, or if there's nothing there, they can wait and then just come as required. So that would make that, more efficient and also better amenity, because, it wouldn't be overflowing in your street or at the...
Yeah, well, the bin is a great example, because if most people who go a certain way to walk to work, for instance, or always go past a certain milk bar would know, that one's always full by the afternoon, but they never come in to collect it till the next day.
Whereas if you put a sensor in there and it's a tested, mechanism and device, I guess that becomes data that you rely on, and therefore you don't have to check or truth it and say, okay, we accept that, and we go and act on that.
Now, your project, working with Georges River Council in Sydney South and Street Furniture Australia, a private company, is trying to think about these types of technologies, and you've designed something that I think everybody will make great use of. Tell me about the post that you've designed.
Yeah, so we've designed this post. We call it a healthy living hardware. So it's a piece of equipment that can get installed at a public plaza or in a park, and it provides a little bit more amenity. So we think, washing hands or washing a piece of fruit or some food is something that's very difficult to do at the moment. So there are facilities out there, like sometimes there are bubblers, you can drink from those, but it's very difficult to refill a water bottle from those. But some products exist that do that too. But there are other needs that are not catered for. And hand hygiene is a very important one. So where can I wash my hands in public? Generally, I've got to go to the toilet or the bathroom, public toilet. It's not a really nice environment. Or another one is, I'm coming out of my office building. I want to have some lunch. I bought some fruits. Where could I wash them and sit in the park and eat them? So generally, I would need to think ahead, prepare this sort of thing at home. But if I can't, due to whatever reasons, why can't I also do that in the public? And so we've come up with this pole, which we call, as I said, the healthy living hardware. And so that enables these kind of activities. And it has PowerPoint outlets. So theoretically, you could bring your kettle along, or you could bring your electric fry pan or your electric wok or something.
I suppose
and even prepare something there,
yes.
So just making sure that the public space that we, or some of us, spend a lot of time in serves us a little better, in places like parks, you could have a picnic, and instead of bringing a hot water bottle, you bring your kettle, and you can make tea and brew things and warm them up.
Warm up some noodles. They're very popular these days. I'm not sure that I'd see myself using an electric wok in public, but there may be some WHS issues there. But I tell you what, your poll also has something that everybody will immediately say aha to, amen to, and that is USB charging points.
That's right. We all have the phones and we all take pictures, and especially you go out on social outings, you want to document them and all of this. And how often do you run out of battery? And so, yes, you can plug in there and recharge your phone or your, tablet, whatever it is. You can also plug in, your laptop and do some work in a park. So you've got a nice environment to be in. If, your flat doesn't get the sun in the afternoon or whatever, you can utilize another space. and do it there. So it's just trying. We are trying to make the, you know, that space work a little harder for the residents around it. And if you come there for a special occasion, to provide a little bit more support, because if you go for a picnic, everything generally is on the ground, or you have to bring your own tables. You know, and if everything's on the ground, and you've got kids and dogs, and you've got your valuables and liquids, and it's okay on a, you know, occasional basis. But if you want to do it a bit more regularly, we just need a little bit more infrastructure to facilitate that.
Now, as with the rubbish bin that we were talking about earlier, your pole and the other smart street furniture that you're designing, they collect data. What is going to be the purpose of the data that they're collecting?
Yeah, so it does collect data, that's quite right. So we collect data with the pole, for example, how much water is being drawn, how much power is being used to the power points and the USB ports. So we get an idea of, are we fulfilling a need that we've, you know, we think we've identified, but are others also thinking it's something that we, that they're happy to use and have there? So we get user feedback, we get some data that we can check, and we can find out what times of the day these things are used, if there's a particular demand for them, maybe we can put more in. We find out also whether the picnic tables and the benches get the use that we envisage, because we think, oh yes, we've got this unit here, we put a few chairs around there and a table there, and we think maybe that makes a nice comfortable environment, but we don't know how the park users and the public actually responds to that. And so we think if we can now get data on that, it informs our design decisions. We've got a little bit of, you know, instead of opinion, we've got evidence, and everyone loves evidence to make decisions that cost money. So we can then make a better case for the council, or the council to their ratepayers, and they can say, look, based on this, we are doing that, rather than we think, therefore. So
no, it makes a lot of sense. Our guest on Open House is Dr. Christian Tietz. He's from the University of New South Wales. Well, Christiane, how do you think this is actually going to improve lives? This technology is great if we can use it to actually improve lives, create better environments, and, you know, make us, in the end, a happier people. How's it going to improve lives?
Well, I guess we can offer services that we've got evidence that they're required, you know. Because at the moment, I could say, well, I think we need this pole. We could, you know, we've managed to find a partner that is happy to install it. But now to actually argue for it and collect, you know, evidence that it's useful, we could have someone sitting there for 24 hours, or we could, you know, people in 3 hours, in 3 shifts per day to collect that. So the data there is doing the work for us through the sensor. So that's an easy way. And I guess if you sort of extrapolate it out and we think, well, we could have networks of those sensors, yeah, you might be able to book your picnic spot, you know, at that pole on that date for that window of time. So when you plan your family gathering to go down to that park, you don't have that anxiety in the back of your head, well, I hope we get access to this, or I hope we can do this, because, you know, you've been able to book it. So there are little ways like this that I think it will make a contribution.
You think we're going to be ever over the suspicion, though, that with all of this technology, somebody out there is watching us? It's actually, not a conspiracy theory. They actually are.
Yeah, no, it's a very valid point. It's a serious point and needs to be considered. And we are not, you know, collecting person-specific data. We are really just capturing use data. And it's interesting being on the other end of that side, because I share those concerns, you know, and I also think, well, what is being collected about me? And now I'm one of those, you know, that's collecting stuff.
You've joined the other side.
I joined the other side, and what interesting insight that is. And it comes down to, you know, how is it configured? And so the data that we collect, we had to go through the university's ethics committee, a very rigorous application that ensures, you know, that our data is not being misused or abused. So we've got the ethics clearance for that. And our data is, you know, being stored on secure university servers. It has no names or any details like that associated with it. And so that's what we're doing to secure it. I guess the council then gets some of this data, but also they only get used data, so that it is not possible from the data that we collect to identify individuals. Even so, people are concerned about that, but as far as we can see, it's not possible.
Well, I think the idea of a smart city is not science fiction. It's here. And now it's just a matter of finding more applications, and that's exactly what you're working on. Thank you so much for telling us about your work.
Ah, you're most welcome. It's a pleasure.
A fascinating discussion and a fascinating guy, Dr. Christiaan Tietz. He's a senior lecturer in industrial design at the University of New South Wales, and he's got an amazing background, as a matter of fact. Design for remote Indigenous communities, including housing for remote Indigenous communities. He has awards from the UN and many accolades for his work, and we must have him back on. I am hoping that we'll be able to have him back on to talk about some of those things later on in Open House. It's all part of looking at life through the lens of faith and pointing to hope. And when technology is used in a really clever way that restores hope, for example, in an indigenous community, or helps you to get out and about and use your park in a better way, or lets you charge your phone on the run, well, that's got to be an improvement. That's got to be an improvement. And as for the stir fry at the bus, I can just see people there at the bus stop with their little walks. You haven't had breakfast. You plug your toaster in. Yeah, that's the thing. And you've got to judge, am I going to toast it on 3 or 4? Hang on, how far away is the bus? There's an app for that. It tells you. I think we're onto something. 1-300-40-2020, if you can think of other great applications for technology and street furniture.
Discover more Open House podcasts at openhousecommunity.com.au.